Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everyone who's worshiping here today. We come together in the house of the Lord. We gather around his word. We gather at his table. We gather together with one another. We are still in the joys of the Easter season. And so I have to say, he is risen.
He is risen
indeed. Hallelujah. And so today we celebrate. As far as announcements, I think most everything is in the bulletin. A reminder that The Chosen continues this week, that next Sunday there will be a quarterly voters meeting, and we certainly keep the congregation and all of our seminarians in their prayers as we await to see what happens on call day, and the schedule is in your bulletin for those services as well. So again, we want to welcome you, and now we will begin our worship singing hymn 474, Alleluia, Jesus is risen.
Alleluia, Jesus is risen, trumpets resounding in glorious light. Splendor the Lamb, heaven forever. Oh, what a miracle God has in sight. Jesus is risen and he shall arise. Give God the glory.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you. And justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We will join together now in speaking responsively Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he has heard
my voice and my pleas for mercy.
Because he inclined his ear to me.
Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live.
The snares of death encompassed me.
The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish.
Then I called on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul.
Gracious is the Lord and righteous.
Our God is merciful.
The Lord preserves the simple.
When I was brought low, he saved me.
Return, O my soul, to your rest.
For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you.
For you have delivered my soul from death.
My eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling.
I will walk before the Lord.
In the land of the living.
I believed even when I spoke.
I am greatly afflicted.
I said in my alarm,
all mankind are liars.
What shall I render to the Lord?
For all his benefits to me.
I will lift up the cup of salvation.
And call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord.
In the presence of all his people.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost.
As it was
in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Glory be to God on high.
And on earth
peace, good will toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father, O Lord. that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. Thou only art holy, Thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the
The Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Let us pray. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first reading for the third Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 2. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word and were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 1. If you call on him as Father who judges impartially, according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly with a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In honor of our Lord Jesus Christ, I invite you to rise for the Alleluias and the reading of the gospel.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel, which also serves as the text for our meditation today, from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. And he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We join together now in professing our Christian faith as we speak the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Our service continues with the children's message. So I'd like to have them come and join me. Well, good morning. How are you today?
Good.
I am really glad to hear that. It is great to see all of you here today.
And sad.
Hmm?
And sad.
And sad?
Because my grandpa's in the hospital.
Oh, I am sorry to hear that. But today we have some good news. I brought along
a necklace.
It's a string of pearls. I will be honest with you, these are not real pearls. But yet they look the same, don't they? Do you know how you tell the difference between real pearls and fake ones?
Because real pearls are bigger.
Well, real pearls are all different sizes. They can be smaller, they can be bigger. Now these are all the same size. And how do you tell the difference? Well, the fact is, if you run them across your teeth. You see, real pearls are rough and grainy against your teeth. And I bet a lot of the people out there didn't know that. But now you all know it. But the fake pearls are really smooth. You know, sometimes when things look the same, it's hard to tell which one is real. But if you listen, there was a time when Jesus' disciples had problems believing some of the promises that Jesus had made. I mean, he had told them that he was going to be crucified, that he was going to die, and on the third day he would rise from the dead. But yet the disciples, they had trouble believing that. And so after Jesus rose from the dead, he began to appear to his disciples in various settings. Today in the gospel lesson, you heard about him appearing to two of his disciples while they were traveling on the road going to Emmaus. And at first they didn't recognize him, but then he started to tell them everything that was in the Bible about him. Tell them that it was necessary that all of those things took place. And that they started to listen to what he said. And then they got to where they were going and they said, hey, come on in and stay with us overnight because it's late. And they sat down to eat and Jesus took the bread. And he broke it, and he gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they were able to recognize and see that it really was Jesus, that he was the risen Jesus, that he was real. And you know what? A lot of other people have discovered that since then. And that's why we're here today, too, because God has worked through his word, his spirit works in us, and brought us to know that Jesus is the real thing, that he's not fake, but he's real, and he loves us, and he is our Savior. That's all for this morning. Thanks for coming up. Remember, Jesus is the real thing. So take something before you leave. We'll continue our worship singing hymn 475, Good Christian Friends, Rejoice and Sing.
Good Christian friends, rejoice and sing. Now is the triumph of our King. To all the world, glad news we bring. Alleluia.
Mercy, peace be unto you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text, the gospel lesson read just a few moments ago. And just think of those words when they said, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us. You know, when Paul was dictating one of his letters to the church in Corinth, the Holy Spirit inspired him to create a short list of the people who saw Jesus alive after he died on the cross. And here's what he said in 1 Corinthians 15, I delivered to you as of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. And you know what? Those words remind us that there were hundreds, perhaps even thousands of people who saw Jesus alive after he died on the cross. I'll be honest, these accounts were not like modern sightings of Bigfoot or UFOs or Elvis. You know, when you see those, they're always those shadowy, grainy, out of focus images that could be almost anything. These are accounts of people who actually had conversations with Jesus, who touched Jesus, who ate with Jesus. These are not the accounts of people who saw things out of the corner of their eye. These are not the results of wishful thinking. The Apostle Paul indicates that there were many accounts of the risen Lord. So many, in fact, that there wouldn't even be room to record them all. But why did the Holy Spirit inspire the evangelists to include these particular accounts? I mean, today's gospel comes to us from the gospel according to Luke. And Luke's accounts of the resurrection, well, they begin early in the day with the witness of the women at the empty tomb. And then there's the account that we heard earlier of the two disciples en route to Emmaus. In today's gospel, we heard Jesus speak to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And he said, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And it says, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all, in all of the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And today's gospel, it even tells us that Jesus, he hid his own identity while he was explaining the scriptures. And while they were talking and discussing together, it says Jesus himself drew near and he went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Do you understand? Jesus at this time hid his own identity, but he explained to them the scriptures. You see, as far as Jesus was concerned, it was more important for those disciples to understand the resurrection based on the word of God. More important than for them to understand simply because he was there with them and they got to see him in the flesh. And so the word of God is very important to Jesus. I mean, Jesus scolds those two disciples for failing to believe what God's word clearly said. He said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer all of these things and enter into his glory?" You see, Jesus understood that the Bible is not hard to understand simply because it uses difficult language. It's hard to understand because it says things that we don't want to believe. Supposedly, Mark Twain said, "It ain't those parts of the Bible that I can't understand that bother me. It's the parts that I do understand." Let me ask you, what would happen if Jesus walked with you and he talked with you? Would he say the same thing to you, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken"? Well, I know that I am still foolish. I know that I'm slow to believe. But what about you? I mean, why is Jesus so stern? Why is he so insistent that we believe the word of God? Because Jesus knows that the word of God is the power of God. Jesus isn't insistent about God's word just to give us something to do, but he's insistent about God's word because it is the power of God unto salvation. Do you understand? The word of God is how God gives his gifts. And yet it seems very natural for us to ignore God's word, or to hear it improperly. And when we, I mean, think about it, when we hear in God's word that we broke the universe with our sin, it's natural for us to think that we can, or that we need to fix it by not sinning. Our human nature desperately desires a way for us to set things right, to make our own way back to paradise. I mean, doesn't it makes sense to us that good, loving people go to heaven and cruel, evil people go to hell? It makes sense to us that we should be able to improve our own moral character so that we can make ourselves worthy of heaven. And so when God's word tells us that we are all cruel and evil, when it tells us that we can't save ourselves, then we want to ignore it. And we want to complain that it's just too hard to understand. When God's word tells us that Jesus took the blame and the punishment for our cruelty and evil, we often judge that that's just too good to be true. And we want to insist that there's something that we must do in order to earn our own salvation. But Jesus is not going to let us get away with that kind of thinking. He taught those Emmaus disciples that the entire Old Testament is about him. It says he began with Moses and all the prophets, and he interpreted to them all of the scriptures, the things concerning himself. He showed them how the Old Testament proclaimed the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of the Christ. And so Jesus teaches us, you and me, that there is a single theme throughout the Bible. It's like a scarlet thread winding its way through all of the passages of Scripture. And that scarlet thread is Jesus himself. He teaches us that we haven't learned the full meaning of any passage in Scripture until that passage teaches us something about Christ crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins. You know, Jesus said that the Emmaus disciples, that they were foolish and slow of heart because they didn't believe in that scarlet thread of Jesus in all of the scripture. And I also have to confess that I don't see Jesus as quickly as I should when I read the Bible. And therefore, I'm also foolish and slow of heart. How about you? And you know, Jesus doesn't say that to be mean. He says it so that you and I would know about the salvation. He wants you to know about the salvation that he has earned for us, that he has earned for you with his suffering and his death on the cross. He says it so that we would believe in him and would live forever. And he wants us to know the word because it is through the word that we know him. And it is through him that we have salvation. And we know that eventually Jesus revealed himself to the Emmaus disciples. They arrived at their home. They invited Jesus to spend the night. And as they reclined for the evening, we're told that Jesus took on the role of host. He took and broke the bread and he gave it to them. And then that they recognized that this was none other than Jesus risen from the dead. And then just as soon as they recognized him, he disappeared from their sight. I mean, it's interesting. Don't you find it interesting that they recognized Jesus in the breaking of the bread? For we also today break bread. You see, our Lord Jesus has given us a very special meal using bread and wine. And he promised that when we celebrate this meal, according to his instructions, that he will take up residence in that bread and wine, that he will come to us in his very body and blood. And in a way that's similar to the Emmaus disciples, we also recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread. And so our Lord Jesus, he comes to us in his word. He comes to us after his word falls on our ears. And he comes to us as that word combines with the bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper. And in each case, Jesus is revealing himself to us. He is with us today, just as he was with those Emmaus disciples. We have his promise. And by his promise, he also grants us forgiveness and life and salvation. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, may it keep our hearts and minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Gracious and loving God, you have given to us so many gifts. Lord, you come to us in your word and in your supper. And now, Lord, we return our offerings, returning just a portion of your rich blessing. Lord, make them useful for the work of your church. May your word be proclaimed, that your spirit might work through that word in the ears of all those who hear it. Because, Lord, we pray that one day all people might know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. And now let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. God of all compassion, your Spirit opens the Holy Scriptures to the hearts of your people. Enlighten us by the resurrection light that never fades, that our hearts may burn in faith toward you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Blessed Lord, you have established your church so that your promise of eternal life might be delivered to us, to our children, and to all who are far off. To everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself, grant us faithful pastors to proclaim repentance and forgiveness through word and sacrament. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, grant that your word may be the foundation of every Christian home, that husbands and wives may be united in faith and hope, and that children may hear and be nurtured in this word by faithful parents. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, stifle the powers of darkness and end the reign of war, violence, and terror. Give leaders who will seek peace and work for the common good. Instill in them a love of righteousness and guide them in the pursuit of justice for all. Bless Donald Trump, our president, the Congress of the United States, Michael DeWine, our governor, all state and local officials, all medical and emergency workers, and all members of the armed forces. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O God, you have not forgotten us in our afflictions or abandoned us in our weakness. Deliver the sick and the suffering according to your will, and give comfort to the dying. Especially, Lord, we remember those who have requested our prayers, Don and Alice, Margaret and Bernetta, Gary and Francis, Bill and Kim, Andrew and Michelle, Brandy and Heather, Gary and Michael, Ray and Norma, Ron and Vicky, Kyle and Marilyn, Renee and Michelle, Diana and Carolyn, Jordan and Reggie. And Lord, we raise up in our prayers the family of Pat Basselman. Lord, these and all of those others whom we name before you in our hearts, Lord, bless them with your grace and your mercy. Guard us against despair and grant us patience in days of trouble as we await your perfect healing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious and loving God, we also thank and praise you for the gift of life. Lord, thank you. Especially what, Lord, we want to remember in our prayers, those celebrating birthdays this week. We remember Alice Kleck and ask your blessings to be upon her. And especially, Lord, we raise up before you in our prayers this day Bernetta Seinholz, as she reaches this milestone birthday, celebrating 100 years of your grace and your blessing in her life. Lord, continue to keep her and hold her in your loving hands. Gracious Lord, bless her as she celebrates. And Lord, may we all see your blessing in the gift of life. And now, merciful Lord, your compassion is made known to us through your Son's breaking of the bread. Open our hearts and our mouths to receive forgiveness in the body and the blood of Christ, who suffered for us and has entered into his glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, you have delivered our souls from death, our eyes from tears, and our feet from stumbling. Comfort all who mourn with this truth, that they may not grieve as others do who have no such hope. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
These things and whatever else you know that we need, kind Father, grant us for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord, our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene and Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, join in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy on us.
Christ, thou Lamb of God,
welcome to the table of the Lord. And eat the body of Christ given for you. Take and eat the body of Christ given for you.
O Christ, the Lamb of God, that takest away.
Take and drink the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all sins. Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, may it strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.
Now let us, O thy servant, depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, the light to light and the
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you, and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. We'll continue our worship as we join in singing our closing hymn, number 478, The Day of Resurrection.
The day of resurrection, earth tell it out abroad. The Passover of Memphis, the Passover of God. From death to life eternal, from sin's dominion free, our Christ has brought us over with hymns of victory. Let hearts be purged of evil, that we may see our the Lord in his eternal love, resurrection light, and listening to his accents, may hear so calm and plain his own all hail, and hearing may raise the victor's let the heavens be joyful, let earth its song begin. Let all the world give triumph and all that is therein. Let all things seen and unseen their notes of gladness blend. For Christ the Lord has risen, our joy that has no end. All praise to God the Father, all praise to God the Son, all praise to God the Spirit, eternal three in one. Let all the ransom number fall down before the throne, and honor, power, and glory ascribe to